opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. Individual tax matters should be discussed with your tax professional. Ryan Kittredge, a president of ClearPath Financial Partners, ready to talk to us this week about Social Security. I'm Hank Stoltz, and it is time for the ClearPath Financial Partners podcast. And Ryan, Social Security, this is a big one, and one that I suppose people can sometimes stick their head in the sand a little bit before they really want to face that they have to start to deal with this. It's sort of changing times too. I mean, you know, it used to be, hey, can I take it at 63? Most people take it at 65. Now it's 67. Now we go to 70. And so all of these questions about even like, when should you retire? So Social Security, big topic. But yeah, thank you for coming in and breaking it down for us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here and help break it down. I mean, it is one of the biggest questions for people that are leading up to retirement, or if they're still in retirement, because it's still that really cornerstone of income planning in retirement for most people.
Absolutely. Now, we have the Social Security Fairness Act, so I know that is something where I'll see these headlines in the paper, things to know for Social Security Fairness Act 2025, 2026. Are these things just changing all the time?
You know, they're not changing all the time. This was passed just over a year ago. It was like the 11th hour, right at the end of 2024. And so that's been the biggest legislative change in Social Security in decades. I mean, certainly at least the 20 years that I've been in business, it's the biggest change. And really who that impacts, we'll get into some of the specifics later. But government workers, so think teachers and firefighters, police officers who have a government pension, and all of those years they're paying into the state pension system. But let's say they also had years where they were working and paying into Social Security in a public sector job, or they do some consulting on the side, or they ref games part-time. It could be any number of things. They were also working jobs where they were paying into Social Security. And up until just about a year ago, a lot of those benefits were offset, sort of this like double dipping theory, but the mechanics of it were really logistically confusing and seemed pretty unfair, really, because you know, those folks that were paying in, if it was less than 20 years of substantial earnings as defined by Social Security, a lot of that benefit was just wiped out completely. And so that's been overturned, and it's been a huge boost to clients, that ones that are already retired, already received retroactive checks last year back through beginning of 2024. And in most cases, their income has gone up on their own benefit, and a spouse who would claim a survivor benefit, if they were to die and were eligible for their higher amount, they're getting no offset to that. It's WEP and GPO. And these were unloved acronyms by state workers. So WEP is Windfall Elimination Provision, and GPO, Government Provision Offset. And basically, they just meant that they took a lot of your Social Security benefits back. We'll dig into some of the nuances, but it's definitely improved cash flow outlook for those folks.
Ryan, people come to you, and again, we're probably in that 3 to 5 year window from a retirement. Social Security is going to be a big part of what they're going to use for their living expenses in retirement. How do they start to decide? Sometimes I suppose it's decided for you, but how do you start to decide, should I take it at 65, 67? Is it more, is there just more, such more of a benefit for me to stay and working until 70?
Yeah, great question. Like most things in probably in life, but certainly in financial planning, it depends on a number of factors. That said, most clients that are new clients and have, if they've been thinking, I mean, some just haven't really thought about it too much, but the ones that have typically are leaning one way or the other and primarily it's in one of two camps. Both of them have legitimate points to them, but are not the full story. It's kind of like the tip of the iceberg when actually making the decision. On one hand, some people say, you know what? I can take it as early as 62. I'm going to grab that check while I can because the system's running out of money and I've been paying in all these years and I'm going to get something out of it. Right.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
So that's on one hand. And then the other is, well, I've heard that if you delay, you know, all the way to the maximum delayed benefit of age 70, you get the highest benefit. And yeah, you give up, you know, you're not getting a check in those years you wait, but the higher payout eventually, which does roll up at roughly 8% per year. It's not a rate of return because you're not getting a return in the years you wait. So it's like a time value of money formula. They've done or at least read about it or talked to somebody who said, oh, yeah, you know, if we live into our 80s, you get more money by waiting. So I'm going to wait. Right. But there's a lot more than goes in and it's usually not a all or nothing, one or the other. And in some cases, depending on health and age differences of spouses, it can be a tiered approach where one's taking out one age and one another.
As we were talking about the Social Security Fairness Act and now sort of the timing of this, President Donald Trump just mentioned at the State of the Union address about the big, beautiful bill and that, you know, that seems to tie in obviously to the Fairness Act as well and saying, you know, to safeguard Social Security. So really, I guess what I'm thinking is, and I say this often, this is where a trained professional comes in. I don't think that there's a way for a layperson to really kind of keep up with all that is happening to make sure that they get the most benefit and, you know how they can best leverage their Social Security benefit.
Yeah, it's helpful to apply some analysis, talk about some of those questions you should be asking yourself so you can get a sense of what approach might work for you. But to really, you have to put numbers to it in a cash flow scenario because one thing impacts the other, right? Because let's say somebody retires at 65, but their full retirement age or normal retirement age by Social Security is 67. Well, that's a 2-year gap, right? So the question is not just do I wait to collect it to get more benefit later, but if you do wait to collect it, but you still need income, where are you taking it from? And yeah, the benefit rolls up and grows by waiting, but there's an opportunity cost to, you know, withdrawing investments or savings that are generating a return and a yield, right? So you do have to weigh that out. And it's really only when all of it is sort of put into our wealth management system where we have all of the benefits, then we can isolate variables and look at one difference in scenario. Okay, well, what if one spouse dies early? What if expense needs change in this way? What if the rate of return on the market isn't as good as it's been in recent years? What if it's subdued, you know, the returns over the following 10 years? Does that change things? And sometimes it's like, okay, we've got a game plan and what makes sense with what we know today, but it's a wait and see approach. You know, and to your point, Hank, sometimes it's almost a forced scenario because we've had people that we've etched out these well-laid plans. And then someone gets sick and let's say they're diagnosed with Parkinson's and they're not likely to improve and they're still working. They're likely to, if they have a group disability insurance plan, they'll hopefully be eligible to receive benefits from that. But oftentimes it's contractual within it that as soon as you're eligible for Social Security, you have to then grab that and it will offset dollar for dollar the benefits. So that's an example. Or if someone's planning to work longer and they're out of a job and they don't have an income plan, they might just say, geez, I can't have no paycheck at all. Let me turn on Social Security to start getting one. But obviously, the more, if you have a little time to make a smart decision about it, it's better. You don't want it to be impulsive because it has massive implications. It can be upwards of tens, if not $100,000 or more difference between, you know, what you and your spouse get. So you want to get it right. It's pretty much irrevocable.
And people living longer and things as well. Ryan, if somebody sees that they are coming up and they've decided that they want to take a Social Security, does that mean that that's it then and you stop and you are not going to work and you are not going to get another paycheck? Or, hey, I want to keep doing some things. I don't want it to mess up my Social Security benefit, but can I go out and if I just... Walmart greeter, or I'm just advising somebody and this is how much I'm going to charge as an advisor or whatever the case may be that they come up with. And you are listening to the podcast of Clear Path Financial Partners. Is there a way for you to keep another income stream coming along with the Social Security?
Absolutely. Yep. So you can work as much as you want and when you want, you know, for as how long as you want. So that's, you know, a personal decision. The thing, it does tie into this discussion, though, because the Social Security formula is such that if you claim benefits early, which for those retiring these days, it's 67 or it was 66 and change for a number of years. Anyway, if it's before that, let's say you're 63 or 65 and you're still working and you take that, you turn on Social Security, there's a very finite limit of how much you can earn per year from earned wages, meaning work, you know, like W-2 or 1099 consulting, where it won't offset your benefit. And it's not, it's about $24,000 a year. So if you go... Let's say in most cases, there are exceptions, but in most cases, if you are working and you don't need the income, you're just going to turn it on to, like, let's say, bank it or pay your mortgage down faster. It probably doesn't make sense because any dollar above $24,000 and change, I forget the exact amount this year, goes up a little bit each year. But any amount above that, they're taking 50 cents per extra dollar earned off of your Social Security benefit. So in the case, let's say you were making, well, we'll just double it, call it 48,000 of wages, and you had a benefit of, you know, 30,000 a year of Social Security by claiming it early. Well, that's double what the wage base is. You're 24,000 over. So the next year they're going to go ahead and reduce your benefit by $12,000. Now, the rule is such that it goes back into the pool of money and then you're supposed to get that paid out over your lifetime. But it's a bad deal because no one would say, like, hey, Hank, give me a dollar today. And, you know, all right, you're going to live, you know, 33 more years. So I'm going to pay you back 3 cents per year over the next 33. You'd be like, no, I'll keep my dollar.
Right.
And it's the same with the Social Security. So you do have to be aware, you know, hesitant to claim it early, but if you have already met that full retirement age, you're age 67, then you can pull Social Security if it makes sense based on other factors and still work without any cap.
Yeah, boy, I mean, knowing when to take it is, as you said, it is key because once you make that decision, that is your decision. Ryan, what else do we need to know about some of these Social Security changes? You said doesn't happen very often, but boy, so 2025 was really monumental.
It has been a monumental change. Yeah. So the biggest thing is, so those that were working now, Social Security, I'll just back up for 1 second. Social Security, some people, especially if they or someone they know is a, you know, state or federal employee and they have a pension, some people think it's based on your last 3 years, you know, your highest 3 years of earnings, you know, your wages, or some other formula like private pensions from corporations work differently completely. But Social Security, it's actually based on a 35-year highest earnings, which for most people, it's like most of their career, if not all. And it's inflation adjusted. So meaning like if you're earning $100,000 today, but you earned, you know, $30,000 in 1978, you know, that's probably equivalent, right? So they're kind of putting a CPI inflation adjustment to it. So where people were really kind of stuck was if, like I said, if they have a state job, but they have all their part-time income, or they had even several years, up to 20 years of income in a private sector, a lot of that was being offset. So first, the windfall elimination provision, or WEP, clients would be like, oh, I'm getting wept. This is brutal. And, you know, so it became like, it's like a word now, but which hopefully people will forget soon because it's no longer a factor, but it was offsetting up to like about $600 a month. So meaning even if they paid enough in to have a, let's call it a modest Social Security benefit of, you know, let's say $10,000, well, $700 a month. I mean, it's basically all offset. So they were kind of like everything they paid in a lot of cases was like completely offset, or a big chunk of it was. And then the GPO, the government pension offset, was mostly eliminating or significantly reducing the spouse's survivor benefit. So meaning it was even worse than the WEP. So because with the Social Security formula, you know, if you're married, you either get your own benefit while you're living or half of your spouse's if that's higher than your own, and the spouse still gets their full amount. Then if one spouse dies, let's say the higher earning, you know, career earner spouse with the higher Social Security benefit, the surviving spouse will then assume their benefit. Their own goes away, but they then get the higher of the two. But then this GPO is coming in and saying, hey, if you've got any survivor benefit from that state pension, we're going to take 2/3 of it and offset it against your Social Security. So like, let's say they had now $30,000 of Social Security, but a $50,000 survivor pension from their husband who was a firefighter, then they get goose egg on Social Security. Because the whole thing was offset, and that was pretty brutal. And now that's eliminated. And we had clients last year, like we were talking about this and saying, hey, this legislatively is true. We don't know exactly the timing and such, but clients said, hey, I just got a check for, you know, $12,500. They said retroactive back to January of last prior year, 24. And then all of a sudden I got a letter saying I'm going to get $1,800 a month now that they didn't have before, which that's pretty cool. And also it changes, generally improves, but can change the scenarios in retirement of where do they need to draw from, what type of a rate, you know, longevity of portfolio it typically extends. It does change things from a retirement income and estate planning standpoint. Some clients had a life insurance policy they kept because they knew their spouse would take such a haircut should they die. And then you look at, you know, what the changes in some cases, it's like, well, you may not need that life insurance policy any longer.
Social Security, when do you start? Because this is a process once you decide. So the first step, it seems to me, is go and meet with Ryan. That honestly, that seems, you know, like sort of the first step.
I like that as a first step.
Right? Yeah, that's a good step. And then you sort of decide, and it is, seems as if as long as you are able, you work until 70 years old, and then you're going to take your Social Security benefits. So let's do that. That you decide that you're going to go with the max 70 years old. When do you start to contact Social Security? When do you start to say, what is my benefit each month going to be? When does that process start?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, I think ideally a year or few before you're even, you know, thinking about retiring or pulling Social Security, you should be looking at this. Starts by downloading your most recent statement. You go to ssa.gov. There's a My Social Security button. You click on it and you create a profile if you haven't already. It's a good thing. I mean, I do it every year. When I get the reminder that I got a new statement uploaded, I go in and I just look and see if my earnings that were recorded were accurate. Because to go and amend that years down the road is possible, and it won't be a lot of fun,
yeah.
Administratively. So I look at mine, and I think that's good practice. It takes like a second once you've created a profile. But you want to look at that, see if it looks accurate. If you have been remarried, if you had a spouse you were married to for more than 10 years in duration and you're divorced, or if they've died, either spouse you were married to or one you were divorced from, or if there are inconsistencies or discrepancies with your statement that you don't agree with, you're going to want to reach out to Social Security to round out the information so that they give you the accurate figures, right? So that's kind of the first step,
yeah,
is getting that information. then going through the analysis and the decision-making process. And then when it comes to filing, you can file up to 4 months before the intended start date. You should do it, you know, at least 8 to 10 weeks prior, or there'll probably be a delay.
Obviously, millions and millions of people do it. Ryan, how onerous a process is it, or this is what most people do, so they've pretty much streamlined it?
It's a pretty easy process. Yeah. It's making the, actually filing it is pretty easy. The things that are less intuitive are the decisions beforehand, certain things like Medicare premium, withholding and charges. I think we've talked on other shows about IRMA. It's an acronym, income related monthly adjustment amount. It's where they charge you a surtax or an excess premium, which is basically just another tax on your Medicare based on your income. We could probably do a whole nother show on IRMA alone. Filing is easy, but also what they don't typically volunteer is to ask if you want taxes withheld. And not everybody's taxed on Social Security, but if your overall AGI or adjusted gross income is, if it's more than, call it $35,000 to $45,000, you are paying taxes on at least 50% of your benefit for not much incrementally higher from there. You are taxed on 85% of your benefit, not a tax rate of 85%, but if it's 30,000, you know, 85% of the 30,000 shows up as income, ordinary income, and it's taxable. So you do want to request a tax withholding form, because that's another thing I see with people that have already claimed is they, hey, great, I got Social Security. It's like getting a paycheck, but they never withhold taxes. And then come tax time, they're like, yeah, your preparer is like, well, great news. I'm glad you enjoyed your Social Security. You owe $15,000 between state and federal because you had no withholdings. Right. So you typically want to withhold on that. There's set rates. You can't choose them. Most of our clients are either at 12 or 22%. And that's kind of what they give you. And then you can work from there and sort of withhold from other sources to offset it.
Ryan, as we wrap up today, and we definitely want to just remind people to head on over to clearpathfinancialpartners.com, and you can hear past podcasts there as well. What else do folks need to know?
I guess I'll just leave with the same sort of thing I opened with, is that don't make a decision based on isolation to just say, oh, the system's going to go, you know, belly up. Like, I don't believe it. It is underfunded still. They're going to kick the can down the road another probably handful of years and then make some legislative changes to probably tax younger people more on higher wages. And there are easy ways to fix it. They're just not popular. So they're going to wait. So don't just grab a check because it's going to run out of money. That's probably a bad call. And also don't, in isolation, just try to optimize. I have a lot of, think of like, especially my engineer clients and those with an engineering brain are like, well, optimization on my spreadsheet says that if one of us lives until 90, we'll have done better by waiting. But you're missing a bunch of variables about liquidity and market withdrawals and so forth. So you have to take into those, you know, there's some psychological element to it, certainly, which, you know, you have to be comfortable with, but health and longevity, difference of age and health, spouses' needs, survivor benefits are a big piece that people don't think about. So make sure you walk through all that before you pull the trigger.
Ryan Kittredge is the president of ClearPath Financial Partners. Again, head to clearpathfinancialpartners.com. And thank you for joining us on this edition of the ClearPath Financial Partners podcast.